I have found the woman of my dreams, an amazing dog trainer whose specialty is aggressive dogs. The woman of my dreams because so many people don't realize their dogs are aggressive, or perhaps worse yet, they think their dogs are aggressive, but really they just don't understand what's going on with their dogs, and not understanding means that it gets worse and worse. Elaine Berg owns Golden Rule Dog Training in Evergreen, Colorado, outside Denver. And while she works with many people there, she also works with people, pandemic and otherwise, remotely. Elaine, I am so excited to meet you because you're not the one aggressive dog trainer that I was ever introduced to who was like, I don't know, 6'4", 250 pounds of solid muscle. I thought, okay, that's how he's going to deal with an aggressive dog. Probably not going to get the job done by arm wrestling him, right?
Exactly.
I mean, your kindness is you lead with kindness and respect.
Yes. And I'm about 5'3". And
delicate.
I sometimes visually am a little bit of a surprise to folks. I'm entering the senior years of my life. I have been doing this 18 years. I've had some raised eyebrows when I show up. I'm not a big person. And I think that does underscore exactly kind of the teaching with kindness and respect, that strong arming our dogs with any teaching, whether it's aggression or any other behavior that we're working with, is not the way to communicate.
Exactly, which is why I set up the visual, because I saw on your really cool website this amazing array of Doberman Pinschers, and I want to talk in a minute about breed-specific aggression, and is there such a thing, or is it just in the public's imagination? And there was you, delicate, cheerful, chipper, and, you know, I am specialized in aggression issues. I'm like, good for you, because you're bold and brave, but smart. Because you got to outsmart aggression. You can't outnumber it with power or anger or some horrible kinds of equipment. I don't know what those equipments might be, but well, certainly a prong choke collar has always been one of my least favorite. So let's talk a minute about your relationship to Doberman Pinschers, because you're very, very involved in the breeding of Doberman Pinschers, the showing of them, and also other kinds of showing besides confirmation. Barn hunt, I don't know if you do that just for fun or if you do it competitively, but you and your Dobies do a lot of really cool things. Can you talk about how you became a Dobie person?
Of course, I do love the breed. I think, of course, they're really smart, highly trainable, and really love being with their people. And that's what attracted me to them. I was introduced by a boyfriend years ago, old boyfriend, who had his dog super highly trained. And I was just so impressed by their ability to perform all these tasks.
Yes.
And and his were guard trained, highly guard trained dogs.
Wow.
On his property. And now this was old school, and the way he had trained his was old school. And to be completely honest, that's how I started, with old school, which for any of your listeners who may have started that way, was called the Kohler method.
And yes, harsh, very harsh.
Very harsh. Choke chain, throw chain, which that goes way back to, I don't even think they exist anymore. But anyway, the newer version is pennies in a can, or throwing
yes.
it and that.
Yep.
Sort of, that's kind of the current iteration of a throw chain. But it's very old school, and that's where I started, and that was harsh. And that I've definitely moved away from that through education. And actually, a dog educated me that to get away from that, because she didn't respond to it. It was my personal dog.
Interesting.
She's like, yeah, that doesn't work. And so what do? Just keep escalating
your harshness,
getting more and more harsh.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's really interesting.
That was my light bulb moment.
Because, one of the things that I've talked about on the show and with Carol Borden on Good Dogs was an episode. I did several episodes in conversations with her and Amy Sadler about the canine officer in South Carolina who was using secretly, didn't know the camera was on, was hanging his dog, his beautiful German Shepherd canine police dog, by the neck and flinging him around and punching him in the head. And those were all K-O-H-L-E-R methods. And that is how big, strong, guard-type, military dog-type dogs were trained. I mean, listen, children right. used to have their knuckles wrapped. People we know, surely older like us, but people that didn't, maybe not even just Catholic school, your knuckles were wrapped. There was paddling. There was corporal punishment of humans to teach them. So this was, you know, part of the ethos. And what's great is that your dog taught you, it's not about, oh, I'll be kinder or nicer. It's like, I want to be more effective. I want to have this communication that will work reliably and comfortably for me, the dog, and the public, right? I mean, I guess that's really what it boils down to, is it has to work and it has to have a foundation that isn't built on fear and trembling and the dog waiting for a chance to, you know, I don't know, get revenge, right? I mean,
well, either you'll please me or you'll hurt me.
Yes.
And you know, this particular dog just said, there's no amount of, you know, punishment that I care about. And so I hit a dead end, and I was seeking other trainers saying, and I was not a professional trainer at this time.
Right.
This
you were just an owner, breeder, right.
Right. And they were also saying, just keep upping the punishment. And I
wow.
said, you know, at what point does this end? And I just realized there has to be a solution. Mm-hmm. I love this dog, but we're getting nowhere. And I had not heard of positive training. And I mean, it was kind of in the, you know, dawning ages of positive training. And I was living overseas at the time. And I fortunately found somebody who introduced me to it. And it was a brand new day. And I just thought, oh my gosh, where has this been?
Yeah.
And it was new. And it was literally life-changing for both of us.
And has continued to be the way that you work.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Do you think...
And I like to think that's what said more people need to know about this. And it's going to save, you know, dogs' lives and people's relationships with their dogs.
Definitely. And having a dog like Adobe, which looks frightening to other people. She was. And they look frightening to other people. And sometimes they behave in a very guarding manner. I'm not talking about a dog trained to attack or to do any kind of the Schutzhund kind of military maneuvers. But one of the things that I've always heard said about Dobies, just kind of anecdotally, is they're a one-man dog. So I believe that to be true of Akitas. I believe it to be true in some cases of Rhodesian Ridgebacks. In other words, it's not just true of Dobies, and it may not be true of any of them. What is your feeling about this one-woman or one-man dog idea in terms of whether a dog might act aggressively or defensively to others?
Well... I would say I can't speak for every breed.
Of course.
I am very familiar with Dobermans. And we do state in our breed that they were originally bred to be personal protection dogs.
Yes.
And that that is still inherent in our breed. So I would say they're excellent family dogs. So I have not seen in my dogs them just connecting with me only, and it's just me and my husband. But they are extremely appropriate with guarding our property when appropriate, or us personally when appropriate. But my personal dogs, with the exception of the one I mentioned earlier, who was not her temperament was not sound. But since then, I have had sound dogs. Very friendly, love children, love people in the public. We can go out anywhere, meet people of all ages and abilities, and are very appropriate. That being said, one of my current dogs now, who goes in the show ring, and you know, judges can touch her, she can be out in public, is a very lovely dog. Someone actually did try and attack me in a parking lot in a hotel.
Really?
She,
oh my God, that just gave me a chill. You said, you know, when appropriate. I'm thinking, well, in L.A., we used to be always scared for ages in the 80s and 90s of being attacked in parking garages. In fact, even in broad daylight, we were told, as women alone, do not park in a parking garage. Wow, it happened to you?
Yeah. And it was at a hotel, at a dog show.
Ironic.
And I had to take her out to, take her out to go to the bathroom. And individual, you know, was coming across the parking lot, and I just thought, well, you know, he's had his thing to do, and I'm doing mine. But he kept coming, and, he was between me and my hotel room. And I thought, well, he's going to his car, he's going to the dumpster, he's doing something else. But he kept coming, and I finally was very nervous, and I shouted at him, no, and I waved my arm like he had a hood up. I thought, well, maybe he's got earbuds in or something like that, and he doesn't realize he's scaring a woman in the parking lot alone.
With a Doberman, hello.
Well, honestly,
he didn't know too much about dogs. That's so funny.
If he had tunnel vision, I checked with law enforcement later. One of my clients was law enforcement later, and I said, what was this guy thinking? He goes, you know, sometimes bad people just focus on their target, and they don't see anything else around them.
Wow.
I said, well, when he got within 10 feet of me, which by then I was just paralyzed with fear, honestly. I just had a bag of poop in one hand and my dog leashed in the other. And she went for it. And
then he
shouted, oh, expletive, and turned and ran away.
I'll be darned. So she did that. She was obviously not trained to do that. She was a confirmation show dog. And yet it was in her DNA, in her wiring, to protect her human.
And sure
she knew it was dangerous.
Terrified.
She knew it was dangerous. She'd never done that to a person that came near you in an unthreatening way before.
Oh, no.
That's pretty cool.
And of course, no. And of course, my heart was racing. I was just, you know, sweating and just, you know, completely a wreck. And I went back into my room. She circles three times on the bed, goes sound asleep. I did not sleep the rest of the night. And we get up early the next morning. She goes in the ring and wins, you know, her points. You know, like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
I do it all.
That's who I am. I'm Adobe. I can do it all. I can be a gorgeous diva, and I can be a kick-ass.
You know what? I was so proud of her, and still am proud of her. She's sleeping on the couch right now.
That's really neat.
So,
well, I mean, that goes to the point in terms of aggressive dogs. I don't know that we really call that aggression.
I would call that appropriate.
Yeah,
aggression.
Absolutely. It's guarding behavior. But I think it goes to the point that there are a lot of German breeds. It's funny. I was thinking about it before we were having this conversation, whether it's German Shepherds, which were called Alsatians for a long time and not called German Shepherds for a long time because of the war, the Second World War. But there's Rottweilers, and of which I had one thrown away, as I've often told people about Yogi Bear, in a cardboard box by the side of the road in Southampton one summer. Turned out he had no hip sockets. I found out by the time he was 6 months old. He was the single sweetest, kindest dog of anyone, even sweeter and kinder than my golden retriever, Roma, even sweeter and kinder than Amalfi the Cocker Spaniel, because Amalfi didn't actually know he was on this planet. So it doesn't really count as sweet. It's like, hi. But that Yogi Bear was something else. Kids would come over and say, can I come over and play with Yogi? Not come over and visit me and have a brownie. They wanted to play with the dog. So there are breeds, and many of them happen to be German, but there's lots of others, like, I don't know, you know, Russian Terriers, that big black, like a giant Schnauzer-looking dog. And they're really, really dangerous, if we don't mind using that word, kinds of breeds in the wrong hands. So, I mean... On Good Dogs, you and I are going to have a lot of chance to have conversations about what is aggression, how does aggression express itself, how do we manage it in a dog who's a mixed breed that we don't think has any of those things in its wiring, but it may. And what's in a breed that you probably, it's not for amateurs. I mean, so many breeds at dog shows on the television, they say, you know, it's really for an experienced owner. No, it's really just for the right kind of owner. Forget experience, because someone could have had seven, you know, corgis. It's not going to help you if you go get yourself a highly bred Doberman or even a highly bred German Shepherd, a working dog. It's not, or forget a Belgian Malinois that people once in a while try to have as a pet. So I think what I'd like to say in wrapping up, and you and I have so many more conversations to have about this, and I hope people will follow us on Good Dogs as we continue to have the conversation, because dogs behaving badly, forget the word aggression, is rampant, and people are scared about it and confused, and they don't know how to get help. I think it's really great that Golden Rule Dog Training, your company, is about kindness and respect in training even what you might call the most demanding or severe situations. And it could take a village or a family or several people to understand a dog and how to manage him. But you do need professional help. You can't do it alone. Would you, in closing, would you say that's a pretty important thing to realize?
Absolutely. And sometimes it's ego. I've always trained my own dog.
So right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people see it as a weakness.
Yes.
To ask for help, and I would certainly like to change that perception. Or that you're signing up for a lifetime, membership when you ask for help from a trainer. That's also not true. Sometimes just a few sessions. That's frequently people say, "Well, how long is this going to take?" And that's
you don't really know until you get into it. But in fact, it is time limited.
It's not a have to be.
Yeah, it's not a lifetime commitment. It's not like going into Freudian therapy. No. It's like going to talk therapy. You can see a shrink once or twice to solve a problem.
No.
We've run out of time, Elaine. But I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing for people and for their dogs. And I look forward to discussing it in great
detail. Thank you so much,
detail
Tracy.
On Good Dogs. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks so much.